Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
This week's RTEGA podcast is all in favour of streaming. Hello and welcome along to the RTEGA podcast. I'm Mikey Stafford. As always, I'm joined by Rory O'Neill. And this week, we have a full house. We have RTEGA reporter Damien Lawler. We have RTEGA correspondent Marty Morrissey. And we have James Stevens Jr. full forward Jackie Tyrrell. How are we all doing, lads?
Good, Mikey. Very good.
Good, Mikey.
Good. There's nowhere else to start. Jackie told us just before we came on, we started recording, that he's making his return to the James Stevens Junior Hurlers after 20 years tomorrow. But he won't be lining out anywhere familiar. Not cornerback, not fullback. You'll be wearing number 14, Jackie.
Yeah, well, I don't know what number I'll be wearing, but I'm probably going to be on the edge of the square. So, yeah, it'll be something new for me. Looking forward to it. I've never played in the forwards before. We played a challenge match recently, and I ended up there. So, I believe that'll be thrown up there. The old experience card being played for a lot of young lads up there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be different. So, looking forward to it. New challenge. I just hope the fullback for Ronan Steig is around the same age as me, so that we can kind of cancel each other out and just staying around the square, and he's not darting out the balls and making me look bad. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
I can only imagine what the fullback for Ronan Steig will think when he sees Jackie Tyrrell running in onto the edge of the square. It'll be a good crack.
They may have heard the rumours.
I think, Rory, we should order a full television outside broadcast and cover this three-nil. Could you imagine the likes of Don Logan? We should even put Pat Spillane on this one.
Is Kieran Joy still playing senior with Rory Steig, Jackie?
Yeah, he is. It's actually funny. I think Ronan Steig are doing something similar with him. I know in challenge matches recently, they put him up in the forwards as kind of a ball winning half forward as well, because he's quite strong in the air. And they're very young and probably lighting their forward line as well. So it seems to be kind of a trend down this neck of the woods as well.
The bear in the square.
it's the old reliable thing, you know. You throw the big awkward lad up in the full forward line, put two nippy lads in around him and kind of go from there with root one balls. So look, we'll see how it goes tomorrow.
Then Nemo wouldn't have been the most well-renowned for their hurling prowess, but one of the big things that you'd often find, if the senior footballers were knocked out of the championship early, they'd all tog out with the hurlers. And Stephen O'Brien would often play. And there was only one place to put him, was in on full forward. But you'd literally have to have a mayor come on, stood behind the goal, because he'd go through hurlies like toothpicks. That they were he'd be breaking hurlies left, right, and centre. But sure, bit of crack.
Well, like Tommy Welsh was hugely successful with Tullone last year. Went up, they actually won the intermediate and went on to win the club all Ireland full forward. And he was hugely influential, particularly in the county final. So it can work if the right kind of supply of ball is going in. And normally we're trying to put lovely diagonal balls in front of full forward. I won't be looking for that tomorrow. It'll be root one. If there's snow on it when it's coming down, I'd be all on for that.
It seems to be the jour, Jackie, for people. I also made my junior hurling return after 20 years last night, and I went from being a forward to being a back. I was a shite forward and I'm a shite back, but I at least have the excuse of not playing competitive hurling for 20 years. But I survived.
Do you know what I'd like to see? I'd love to see Mikey marking Jackie Tyrrell at the edge of the square.
Pay-per-view.
Can we organise that for a Sunday game feature when it comes back, Rory?
Oh, yes. I think $5,000 is my fee there, Marty. I should just now cover the medical bills. One thing that will be new, Jackie, for you, I suppose, in this is all the COVID-19 concerns and precautions, including water breaks and the like. Have the club been particularly proactive in all this kind of thing? Or I found yesterday I was filling in the GAA's questionnaire online, you know, in the afternoon, turned up with my own water bottle. It didn't really seem that onerous, you know. It's the any of the regulations, it's all pretty straightforward, I think.
Yeah, it's completely strange, Mikey. And you know, the club have been very professional about it, very organized. You know, and before we were just packing your gear bag, going training, and now you just automatically that. Now you don't, you get changed at home, you have to bring a water bottle, you actually have to bring your own bib, bring it home, wash it, and it's completely different. You get out of your car, you either put your helmet on or you put a face mask. There's no hanging around. You leave your gear bag in a designated area, hand sanitizing after each drill when you go in. So it's completely different. It's great to be back out playing, but I suppose we're just getting on with it like every other club. We were unfortunate where we actually had a COVID case on it, but it was handled very well, very diligently by the club, and we came out of it fine. The guy self-isolated, and there was no other cases from it, and only because we were so proactive. And the actual supervisors in the club handled it so well, and were so in tune with what the regulations, that it was dealt with so well. And you know, there's been other cases as well around the country as well. So once the clubs are very proactive, but I suppose the kind of grey areas, what happens if there is a case and it breaks out into a cluster? What's the guidance? What do clubs actually do? And I don't actually see happening in black and white from the GAA as regards. And I think that's only a matter of time before that does happen. I know we've the cases of the couple of clubs down in West Cork as well. But you know, that's the new world that we're living in, and we just got to get on it and just be so diligent in our preparation. But as regards water breaks and that, I suppose just thinking, like, if you're a team that's on top and you think of the second half, the second third of a game, and what's known as kind of the death zone, and it was a part of the game that Kilkenny traditionally, back the years, we used to always go for teams throat at that stage. You know, if you're going at a team and you're on top, and next thing there's a break of 60 seconds, that can disturb the flow of the game. Like, if I'm a cornerback and I'm struggling, and next thing there's a break, and I get to get into my halfbacks here and my midfielders here and say, look, I'm struggling, this ball's going in, I need you dropping back in front of me, I need the midfielder dropping back in front of me, and you're able to you know, reorganise and refocus, and you go back out, and it's almost a different game. So, you know, there's going to be pros and cons to that, and it's the people that can adapt that will get the best benefit out of it.
Yeah. Damien, there was a little bit of a confusion up in Donegal over the weekend, wasn't there? There was challenge matches played against one of the 10 Derry clubs have stood down. The Donegal club took the precaution to stand down entirely as well, saying they were kind of following county board instructions. And then the county board came out and said, actually, we didn't tell you to do that at all. So it's kind of indicative of how wires are going to get crossed here. Things are a little bit blurred, and everybody's trying to do their best, but there might be instances where clubs are maybe going overboard as well.
Yeah, like that, as you say, that game wasn't sanctioned, the cross-border challenge matches, Mikey. And I don't know, have the lads been out, Marty or Jackie? Jackie's out tomorrow night, or even Rory or yourself. You were playing last night, but I've had, say, two, three experiences of it really since it started. I was covering a match last Sunday for Sunday Sport, and last Friday night and last night we had minor matches back with Kinner One, my club in Tip, and I'm involved with Mark O'Leary and John Casey in the management of that, and Aidan Ryan and Father Pat Reed, who you'd know, Marty, as well from Clare.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is weird, lads. It's basically, the water breaks are grand for us because we've a young team. There are maybe 15, 16, a lot of them, and you're trying to steady them every few minutes and bring them in. But I can see how to disrupt the other team, all right. And you have no dressing rooms to go to. You have the world of paperwork to fill out before you go in. Sanitizers and stuff, I wouldn't mind about that. That's fairly standard at this stage. But just weird having a team talk in a small pitch where there's a stand behind you and everybody can hear every word said. Mm. The whole thing is a bit... I suppose it's a new normal, but it wouldn't be fantastic either to be operating in it. But if that's the way that games can be played this year, so be it, you know.
Yeah. Marty, on kind of a national level, the fact that there hasn't been this cluster breakout, there's been instances, but almost you're better off to have the instances, whether it's James Stevens were kind of the first one, and then they had the issues in West Cork. It would almost be more nerve-wracking for the GAA if there was nothing and they're like, oh, this is coming down the tracks. But they've actually been these isolated incidents nationally, from Derry to Cork to Kilkenny to North County Dublin, and they've been dealt with and they've been kind of, you know, contained. So the GAA must be heartened a little bit by how it's going, even if there are incidences.
Yeah, I think they've adopted a very cautious approach at the very beginning. I think they were criticised, but I think several well-known pundits began to change their mind at the weekend and began to say, well, maybe the GAA were right. I've attended a couple of challenge matches, and exactly the way Damien described it, it is different. And I know you guys are being involved playing last night and tonight. I think from what I can gather, that they're pleased enough with the way the clubs of Ireland have adopted the procedures, and the strategies have all been implemented. But we, you know, while we're getting isolated COVID-19 instances, thanks be to God, there hasn't been a full outbreak. But there is a concern. Now, I think there is an optimistic note for July, for whatever is left of July and August and September. I think the real concern is when we get to the intercounty, when the dark evenings come in and people are training in muck and all sorts of weather. And it is where we get the colds and we get the flus and we cough naturally. Is that a COVID-19 cough or just an ordinary cough? I think there will be deep concerns when it comes to the intercounty. And I think there'll be worries about the intercounty championship happening. But right now, I think we're better off to be optimistic. So far, so good.
Mm. Damien, you have the story on the RTÉ website about the situation in Ulster. They're still waiting to be told that they can have crowds.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that they're going to be told that they can have 500 or 1,000 and they're going to be
a
different scenario to 26 counties?
Yeah, I'd say there is, Mikey. I'd say that's a kind of a weird one, because there's nothing kind of expected out of that, like in terms of when we get official confirmation. It could be a couple of days, but the lads were making the point that Northern Ireland Assembly don't give any decisions publicly ahead of what they're debating. But up to now, crowds haven't been allowed in Northern Ireland six county sporting events, and really, I think there's a hope maybe that over the coming days they might be able to get actually 500 people into games. Now, that is all speculation at the moment, I suppose. So there's no story there right now, but they are hopeful, even though they have no official confirmation of that, Mike. Mm. So like that would be a situation then where you could have 500 at the games and maybe in Ulster, and then maybe 200 down south. And I think people are still hoping that that 200 figure might change, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen immediately either.
No, it doesn't. Jackie, what do you make of that? I would imagine for your own senior team, a crowd of 200 is almost worse than nothing, because you're probably getting to give out 30 or 40 tickets to the club, which a lot of clubs are saying it's just a headache, that's not worth it. They'd nearly rather if it was completely behind closed doors. How are you dealing with it down in Kilkenny?
Yeah, you're almost teasing people, you know, and for clubs to try and manage a small volume of tickets when there's a big demand, and particularly coming out of a time when people are restrained and there's a huge appetite for games. I've been hearing of challenge matches where there's 400 or 500 at it, because they're challenge matches and they're hard to police in that. I suppose I believe that there should be more than 200. And even like a lot of the games in Kilkenny, in fairness, they're trying to pull them into Nolan Park because the pitch is really good, and then they can offer a streaming service as well. And if you put a lot of games into North, why can't we up the volume of people in regional venues, in the Port Leashes of this world, the Parnell Parks, Nolan Parks? Like, you could easily fit upwards of 500, which would satisfy the needs of both clubs. So I think there should be some bit of flexibility within the rules. I do understand why you would restrict it to 200, but there's no reason why in Nolan Park you couldn't have upwards of 500 people in big club games. And I think people would appreciate that an awful lot more than being stuck with maybe 30 or 40 tickets to give out to each team. Like, that's going to be sucked up by members of the playing field's family as well. You know, so it's like, there was I was playing senior last year. I probably won't get into the James Stephen senior game this year. And that's just the way it is. I know it's unfortunate, but I'd rather pass it on to some probably older gentleman in our club that would love to go to it. I'm still obviously been able to play a bit of junior, so I'm getting out and about. He's probably living for that game. So I'd rather let him see the club and hopefully maybe pick it up on a stream. And but I do think the 200, it is a bit tight. Maybe put it to 300, 350, 400 max. And then as the phases go on, open that up a bit more, because, you know, I think we're a bit too cautious on that.
Yeah, we were talking about it last week, Rory, about, you know, John Horan's, he made the call on Morning Ireland, kind of almost like a plea directly to the government. And Sean Moran, I think, had a piece in the Irish Times this week saying, probably not a great time to be making a plea to the government because they had an awful lot on their plates, especially with the green list for travel and stuff at the time. But what Sean was writing, and it would seem sensible, is that kind of, you know, back channel kind of chats might be the way to do this. And it probably will be eased, but I guess you just have to wait. And last week was going to be 200 anyway. This week should be 500, I suppose. So this is the first week when now actually the GA are being stung. So maybe see how this week goes, and then it might be a chance to have a further discussion about it.
Yeah, I read Sean Moran's piece. It was yesterday, Wednesday. Yeah, it was yesterday. And you know where he felt that, in fairness to the hierarchy, that they hadn't put a foot wrong. Now, you know, that's a moot point as well. But at the same time, I wouldn't have had any. Like he felt, having read the piece, that you know, badgering the government in public might not necessarily be a good way to go, and to certainly look for special dispensation for the Gaelic Athletic Association when other sports bodies had simply not even got out of the traps was, you know, maybe not good politicking. But at the same time, I think John Horan wasn't just speaking to the government. Having said that, firstly, the Taoiseach himself now is a dyed-in-the-wool, diehard GAA man, so I don't see any reason why that was a poor call on his part. And the second thing is, I think when John Horan was speaking on Morning Ireland, I think what he was also speaking to, he was speaking to the 2,000 clubs around the country who were probably up in arms about the fact that they can't get people into these games. And I think he was using that as a platform to get the message out there that, look, they were trying their best. He's going on a national broadcaster to actually make a personal plea to the government. And I think he's, as the leader of the association, I thought he was well within his rights to do that, and I wouldn't have had any problems with it whatsoever. Look, whether or not it's going to have any effect or any success, we'll hopefully see a little bit of movement this weekend. But I did think it was a little bit penal and a small bit conservative. You know, having said that, just to go back to what Marty said, we have seen people oscillate wildly from hawks to doves all the way through this thing, and that's just the very nature of it. Like, nobody is right, nobody is wrong. We're all very much, you know, plotting very new courses here, because it's, as the old saying goes, it's unprecedented.
Yeah, Damien, could you explain maybe to people what are the financial implications? Because obviously, the money taken on the gates in county championship matches doesn't really go to the central pool. Could you kind of explain? This is hitting the county boards hardest, basically, yeah?
Yeah, like, I mean, like at some levels, like, of this association, 84% of every euro goes back to the clubs and the county boards. Ulster Council, for example, Mikey, they would lose 1.6 million this year in gate receipts in the inter-county championships alone. They'd lose another million on top of that in commercial income. So, you've been ravaged. Like, I mean, they got a grant up there from Stormont where every GAA club got €2,000 just to keep tied it over. But like, the lotto was suspended in a lot of clubs as well. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose you're trying to get a bit of money back on streaming, but I'd say good luck to anybody who can make a steady financial package out of that right now, because I would imagine costs are fairly significant. And
very significant, Damien.
Yeah, I would say so. I know nothing about it, Rory, but I would say it's not easy to get that up and running. And I say, even with Tipperary there today, they're giving free streaming passes to anybody who has a season ticket, which is a very good move. And they're charging €10 then. Yeah, they're charging €10 then to everybody else who doesn't. So how many €10 will they get now? And then you have weekend passes as well. And Euro County, then Rory Cork, they've done a deal with the
Examiner.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, answer the question. Money is an issue in all this. But as Marty was saying too, getting everybody through safely, really, over the next 10 weeks, I actually think if we get through the next 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks, it'll be one of the biggest achievements in the GAA's history, actually. That's not a big dramatic thing or anything, but just with the level of the pandemic around us and all the factors that are there to get through, it'll be massive, you know.
And I'd be slightly more optimistic than maybe, and look, I'm sure Marty's optimistic too, but I would strike a slightly more optimistic tone about the inter-county season, just primarily on the basis of numbers. I think the biggest problem they were always going to have is the virus is still very fresh, but you've 2,000 clubs in action. By the time we get to the inter-county season, you're down to about 40 teams in total between hurling and football. So it should be a lot easier logistically to manage that through. Now, whether or not you get people in through the turnstiles to watch these games, and whether or not it's a good thing to have these matches played even behind closed doors, that again is a very debatable issue, and I'd be interested in everybody's views on that. But I do think there's a very good chance that if we can get some semblance of club championships completed, I'd be very confident that the inter-county would then also follow suit.
Well, I hope you're right, Rory. And we all do. But my apprehension is based on weather and climate more than anything else, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just November, December, they're not good months normally in Ireland. Now, sometimes it's worse, to be honest, as we all know, after in January, February. So we might be lucky. But you know, if we get a one of these storms or a snow or frost, whatever it is, it could change everything. It also depends on the venues that, that's chosen, because I believe a lot of the games are going to be in Croke Park. But it's look, we've all that journey to go through at the moment. But I hope you're right, 100%.
We could just have the championship played off in the new Air Dome above in Bacon. Fantastic. And Mayo. They've just finished blowing it up today. I just see on Twitter there they have it. So we have an indoor GA pitch in the country now. So that might be the answer to all our problems.
100%.
It looks very impressive, I have to say. And it's in one very exposed part of South Mayo, so it'll be tested. It's impressive. Going back to streaming, actually, I'll stick with you, Marty. Do you fear that streaming is going to kill the television star? Is this the future for all of us now, regardless of the sport?
No, I think RT and TG Car made the right decision in a very sporting way, because I think they had the rights, but they conceded under the present circumstances. And I think that was the right move. And I think it's good for public, for PR, and it's also good, it's the right thing to do. Long term, do I see it? Not really. I think ultimately people will still want the high quality production of something like the Sunday game or League Sunday or TJ Carr, to their credit as well. I think that it'll be different, and I think it's good for the moment. I think it is invaluable. And I think, as Damien said, all the deals that have been done in Tipperary, I think there's a fiver to do it in Waterford. You have to spend an awful lot of fivers for the county boards to make up the money that they're going to lose. But I still think that streaming is fine under the restrictions we have at the moment. But ultimately, they'll still want, because people are used to the high production values that RT and TG Car provide. So, no, I wouldn't be that worried about streaming interfering with television coverage.
You said, Jackie, that it's. Do you think it's a popular service in Kilkenny? You said you're probably going to use it yourself to watch James Stephens matches anyway, are you?
Yeah, without a doubt, because I know from going to games in Kilkenny, you'd often go to games, particularly on a championship weekend, when there could be, maybe one Friday evening, a couple Saturday, a couple Sunday, and you would go to watch those games to see what the other teams are at, and you'd often meet the same guys at the game, so like they live for. They're hurling in Kilkenny, so without a doubt, there'd be a huge appetite to see those games, to stream them. Like you often talk about Super Sundays with the Premiership and like that. There could be Super Sundays where you're watching two or three games, from the comfort of your home, you know. So it serves a need in the current time. If you can't get to the game, well, at least you can get to stream it and watch it on your phone or your iPad, whatever, at home, and you still get to see the action, because there's such an appetite, there's such a demand for live sport. I found myself watching sports there live that I'd never watched before. It's just people love live sports and getting to see local games on the Kilkenny. I know there'll be a big demand for it because, you know, unless the restrictions are lifted with the 200, because that's, you're only going to get 30 or 40 from each club in the gate, and, you know, all the rest of them will have to watch it from a streaming option.
A serious question, Rory. Are there enough cameras in the country and camera operators to do this?
Well, no. Yes. But yes, it would be the straight answer. But then you have to qualify that by saying what class of quality are you actually providing here? What kind of cameras are you putting on board? What kind of a graphics package? What kind of an audio package? Are you going to have sound engineers? Are you going to have graphics operators? Are you going to have commentators, co-commentators? Are those positions going to be rigged? Where are you streaming it from? What's the broadband signal like? There are a myriad of potential pitfalls with this. And I would echo Marty, what Marty said earlier on, 100%. And I'd even go even further. I think this is, to a certain extent, will actually help us, because what it will do is it'll bring into very sharp focus for a lot of county boards and smaller media companies what we do and the difficulties that we have on a day-to-day basis. And it'll crystallize that for them, you know. Like, there is often mention, we often hear, oh, the GAA have great facilities. They don't. No, they don't. They do not have great facilities. There's a couple of stadiums that are fantastic. Croke Park, Thurles, Páirc Uí Chaoimh, now in fairness, Gaelic Grounds, Limerick, Killarney, Kilkenny Nolan Park, but a ropey commentary box. But after that, it's not, you are looking at very, lots of issues around space, lots of issues around broadband, lots of issues around ISDN lines and technology. I mean, Marty, you've been out. I mean, Marty and Damien have probably been at every ground in the country. They'll tell you that, you know. So, like,
well, I don't know what you're talking about, Rory, because most of the venues I've been at, they've been champagne provided. Hello.
He doesn't mean
well, they always roll the red carpet out for you, anyway.
Yeah, you know, massages provided, and you know, it's fantastic. It's lovely. Yeah. You know?
Like, I tell you a good one. It was really funny. Like, I mean, we went down to like one venue that I absolutely love. I absolutely love it for a few different reasons. Is O'More Park in Port Leash, and the main reason I love it is access. It is such a brilliant and easy place to get to from everywhere in the country. But they actually began the building of a commentary gantry in that ground. So if you go to the far side of O'More Park and you actually walk up at the back end of the terrace and you look over, you can actually see they filled out the concrete platform, they put in the foundations, and that was it. And I went down on a recce maybe 2-3 years ago, and I asked the local groundsman, and I said, was that where the new commentary gantry was meant to go? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, is it coming? And he said, no. And I said, why not? Would you want to pay for it? I said, no. From that point of view, it was, and that'll give you an indication. Like, it's so straight away in O'More Park, which I think is a brilliant facility, absolutely fantastic in lots of ways, and especially access. It'd be a superb second stadium in Leinster, actually, just in terms of geographical location alone. But the big issue for it is, again, facilities. So whenever we have to do a game there, it's a scaffold build, isn't it, Marty? So you've got scaffold build straight away. You get scaffolders in. You know, they're not cheap. And that's just one small example of the challenges that a lot of these smaller county boards stroke media organizations are going to face.
Only last year, Rory, I was working. I was sent down to I won't name the county or the venue. I was sent down to a venue out the west, we'll say. And the only ISDN line was in a small room as you ran in the tunnel. But the problem with the small room was you couldn't see the pitch. So it was a unique, I was running in and out and then running back in again. But then I hear a cheer outside, which made me go back out to check. Who scored the goal? Did you see it, lads? Not just we didn't see it at all. And come back in. So, it's different.
But look, all these things, again, like they say that like big pandemics and crises like these that can become catalysts for technology and for society to move forward. Maybe with some of these things, it's an opportunity maybe for the GA nationally to look and address as well, and maybe, you know, modernize some of their facilities.
Right, we'll finish up soon, gents, but I do want to touch on a story that flared up on Twitter yesterday, as stories tend to do. You may or may not be aware of the Dean Rock free taking project. Dean Rock is starting he's doing coaching classes, obviously. He's the best free kick taker in the country. He's decided, well, arguably, Michael Murphy will come and sit on this
class.
but Dean Rock is rather good, whether he's having GPS units thrown at him or not, he's well able to nail a free. Anyway, there was a price list going around on Twitter, which purports to be the prices Dean Ross given. I won't say that these have been confirmed, but they haven't been denied either. It's €350 for your first two one-on-one sessions, €200 after that. A small group with two attendees is €400 for the first two and €240 after that. Three attendees, €550 for the first two, €330 after that, plus travel expenses, all in all these. Now, I've never paid for coaching expenses. I did price up dance lessons for my wife once with one of the Dancing with the Stars, one of your old buddies, Marty. And they're not bloody cheap, I'll tell you that. So I think if you are getting one-on-one coaching with somebody who is a market leader in anything, it's not cheap. But, you know,
I'd have given you a free lesson, Mikey.
Might take you up on
cha-cha.
That, yeah,
the cha-cha.
Herbert's
all bugging the shoulder up.
Do you make her better or worse?
Much worse, much worse.
But obviously, like, the market will dictate if people want to spend the money on this. I guess Dean Rock's done some kind of research on it. But Damien, you probably saw it. It kind of raises the old question of GA players and what are they worth and what should they be allowed to charge for. And it's rather heated on both sides. There's several inter-county players coming out in his defence, and then a lot of people talking about how, well, he was trained by volunteers as a kid, so why the hell should he be charging for it now? It seems a little bit toxic, as debates are on Twitter, but it is kind of, it raises some interesting points as well, I think.
Yeah, like, I suppose, I go back to what you said too, Mikey. Like, the first thing too is, has this all been confirmed? That's the first question I'd ask, because, okay, you say it hasn't been denied, but there's a lot of spout thrown out on Twitter, and I just wonder, has it been confirmed? First of all, I haven't looked at the story, to be honest with you. I haven't. On a more general level, anyway, I suppose Marty talks about getting champagne when he arrives at GEA grounds and all that. My job is usually to get the champagne for Marty.
He never delivers, not even once.
And I paid nothing like the fees that are mentioned there for that. But no, look, I would say generally, hand in heart, right? Fair play to you. If he sees a little niche for himself outside the sport, and if people are interested, and if he can actually get people to go along and, you know, pay whatever he wants, I'd say fair play to him, because fundamentally, take the bloke himself anyway, if we are talking about Dean, he's a decent man. You know, by the job he has, what sort of an individual he is, he's a very much into kind of inclusivity and social workers and stuff like that. And I just say, no, fair play to him. And to any GEA player, if you can make anything happen for yourself outside the sport that's positive, that will help you or help your family, fair play to him. That's genuinely my feeling on this. So I don't think many people would disagree with that either.
Yeah. Jackie, your take on this would be interesting, because obviously, you know, you're a handsome man, and you're a professional clothes horse these days for Littlewoods, but that's a job that came your way because you're an inter-county hurler. I don't really personally see a massive difference between getting an endorsement from a company like Littlewoods or any other company, or, you know, profiting from, you know, the skills you have built up over the course of your inter-county and club career.
Entrepreneurial spirit, yeah.
What do you think, Jackie? I think they're one and the same. I'm not sure how people can think that one is good, like turning up at a press event and doing a photo shoot, that's good, but actually, you know, doing something that relates to your actual talent is bad for some reason.
Yeah, well, I'd say, first of all, if it is confirmed, I would say for Dean Rock, it's a very brave and bold move over to create a business out of his talents, and I would say more power to him on it. And you know, you look at the GEA as a whole, how many managers are getting below the radar payments? You know, you take a club or an inter-county team, physios, they get paid for their services, nutritionists get paid for their services, and if it's a free taker or a goalkeeping coach, they get paid for their services. Absolutely. So right across the broad spectrum of GEA, there is payments. And I would say, here's Dean Rock, who's gone public with it. Well, I presume, to be confirmed if this is the case, we'll be paying revenue on it. That's not the case in all other situations. So I would say more power to him if he gets what he's supposedly charging for. If he gets it, more power to him. And if people are willing to pay that, that's their decision. He's put it out there that he's willing to do whatever he wants, coaching, one-on-one sessions, multiple sessions, and he's offered that service. Because people are making money out of GEA. People are getting jobs. Personal trainers are making huge money. It's a hugely demanded job, because it delivers success. So, you know, I don't see, I because it's something new, because someone is doing something different that hasn't been done to GEA, there's this whole uproar and, as you say, this heated and toxic conversation. And it's his business at the end of the day that he's gone public with him, and I would say more power to Dean Rock.
Did you ever, Jackie, encounter any negative kind of reaction from any fans or, like, club mates or anybody to the idea of kind of profiting from your inter-county career? Did anybody ever have an issue with it?
No, I never did. You'd get a bit of slagging and things like that, but like it's all, you know.
There is begrudgery out there, I would imagine, too, Jackie.
Of course. Now, look, do people look at Dean Rock as a whole, as an individual, of what the work he does? I see the charity work he was doing. He was doing a 24-hour relay through the COVID. Do people take that into context? I don't see any commentary about that. All I see is, the negative stuff about him. So like, people have to look at it. The individual, Dean Rock, a really good lad, as good a free taker around there, has seen an opportunity to have a business. And I would say more power to him. Of course, there's begrudgery out there, and a lot of it is fueled out of that.
The only criticism that I probably have is he should have. One of the big failings that Fine Gael made when they went for the second election under Enda Kenny was to keep the recovery going, and people outside the pale saw no recovery, and I'd be kind of saying to myself, "Jesus, his price is there." His prices there wouldn't be very reflective of what they could pay down the country. So he might need to tailor them a small bit for to have a Dublin price and everywhere else. But
the market will decide whether his prices are right. But Marty, since you know Mick O'Dwyer's Greg Kerry team were, you know, posing with washing machines and, you know, being sponsored by Adidas when Adidas was the devil, like this isn't new. Like top GA players have been getting paid, you know, circuitously. For, you know, for the last 40 years.
And just to clarify as well, Littlewoods did ask me to model clothes, but I wasn't available. I recommended Jackie Tyrrell, Damien Lawler, Rory O'Neill, and yourself, Michael, and they got stuck with Tyrrell. That's all I just wanted to clarify.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate that.
he threw you a bone, Jackie. He threw you a bone.
He always does, Marty. Marty's one of the good ones.
Look, I always take care of you, Jackie. Don't you worry. I have to say, look, there's always been an element of, you know, the amateur ethos versus the effort being put in by the players, and the players getting nothing. And it is a difficult discussion there's two sides. I think I have to say, when I saw this, I thought Dean Rock was maybe possibly even ill-advised to go as honest as what he did. I think, like what the lad said, it's a brave call. Look, here am I. Let me put it like this. I've made a career out of being a GA commentator, and I get paid. So why would I begrudge somebody like Dean Rock to do something a little bit different out of his talent? So I would say fair play to him. I think it's very brave. If it's all confirmed and the prices are right, it will certainly get a reaction. The traditionalists won't particularly like it, but ultimately he's making something out of his talent, and it will be decided by supply and demand ultimately. And I wish him well.
There's a funny argument that Dean Rock shouldn't charge to teach how to take free kicks, because when he started out he would have been coached by volunteers who did it for the love of the game. I'm pretty sure Cristiano Ronaldo and Leo Messi, when they were starting out, were coached by volunteers who didn't make a penny from the game, but nobody's arguing they shouldn't make a living. It's a strange argument, and there's a lot of strange arguments.
And the other thing as well, Mikey, I mean, we, like a few of us, live in Dublin, and we, like, certainly I would know, what people don't realise that wouldn't live in Dublin is how much pulling out of the Dublin senior football team there would be between, you know, lads being asked to turn up to medals presentations and turning up to schools and bringing the cup here and bringing this there and do training sessions here and there. Like, I would imagine if you probably balanced out the amount of voluntary stuff that the Dublin senior footballers do on top of maybe a couple of business ventures that they might have identified for themselves, where they can try and maybe commercialize some of their image, then I really don't see a problem with it. And people would really have to kind of get a grasp of the invasive nature of being a Dublin footballer and what that is up here. And if he can give himself a small bit of boost, a bit of a boost in life by, as I say, commercializing and monetizing his own skills, then good luck to him.
Yeah.
And Mikey, just to pick up your point on yeah, of course GA volunteers would have coached Dean Rock and given him the tools to become a top-class inter-county footballer. But there's no doubt about it. What about the endless hours of preparation and free-taking on your own, going down to Ballymun pitch evening after evening? We hear of what the hours Patrick Horgan puts in Cork free-taking. I know the effort that TJ puts into his frees as well. Like, there's no doubt about it. He would have put selfless hours into being the very best that he could have free taken. And now he has honed that talent, of course, with the support of his club and with Dublin GAA as well. But, like, let's not take away. This guy just didn't get a bit of coaching and he became this unbelievably talented free taker.
And it's not the first time. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe Damien or Jackie might know more about this. But, like, haven't the likes of Kieran Donaghy and some players around the country
Shane Supple had a goalkeeper in the academy.
Run school, sort of summer camps or 5 days with the Bernard Brogan skills camp or whatever. I'm not too sure. I'm just using Bernard Brogan as an example now, but there have been, instances.
Absolutely, Rory. You go on anyone's Instagram story during the summer, you'll see of hurlers, of GA, running almost like cool camps.
I think Aidan O'Shea and Below and Mayo and a few lads down there, they might have ran something for 4 or 5 days over the summer as a summer camp. I mean, it's like, that's the same to me. It's more or less the same thing. And again, I see nothing wrong with either.
I think the
core here is when you think there are an awful lot, Jackie said, there are club managers nationwide getting paid. Yeah. There's so many people getting paid. And because somebody like Dean, which has a high profile, puts it out there in the public domain that this is what he's going to do, I would use Jackie's word, very brave decision. And I think I wish him well. I think ultimately, no matter what's being argued on Twitter, this will come down to supply and demand, and it'll be very interesting to see how he does.
I agree. And just
look at Mikey, Kilkenny football, you know, I will be looking into that free taking source now and getting some rigorous training into our lads.
Junior full forward, Kilkenny footballer, go to retirement queue, Jackie.
You'll be talking out in the WD 40 yet, Jackie.
So, before we finish up, I'd just like to say, if you want to avail of Rory O'Neill's streaming workshops, Damien Lawler's champagne serving coaching, Marty Morrissey's dance classes, and I'm going to be giving Jackie one-on-ones on hurling inside forward play. So if you want to get in contact with any of us for our services, you know how to get us. We'll leave it at that for this week. Thank you to Rory, to Damien, to Jackie, and to Marty. Saturday and Sunday Sports will be chock full of club action this weekend, and we'll have plenty of reports, news, and features on the RTE website and News Now app. So I'll just leave it at that. Please do subscribe to the podcast if you manage to find us by accident. And we'll chat to you again next week. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road. And that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it.